other. And every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. How are you, Paul?
I'm enjoying the autumn chill setting in.
It's a beautiful day. At least the sun's out.
We're hustling towards winter.
I know. All of a sudden.
Highs have been around 10 to 15 below normal.
Right. And colds hit in our family. All the kids were sick. And just all of a sudden, winter was here.
But God will provide.
That's true. And we had my daughter got baptized last weekend.
Oh, congratulations.
So it was a beautiful, cold weekend. My family was up from Texas, so they were kind of thrown into it really quickly. They were like, what do we bring?
This isn't their kind of weather, I'm
not
sure.
So much. But it was a wonderful weekend with family, and I was just very blessed with a good gathering.
Let's take a look at what's coming up today.
Let's do that. Coming up, we'll talk with Deacon Mihalik about his upcoming talk, which is the culmination of the Rediscover Faith 2013 speaker series, and he'll explore how prayer, service, and the sacraments lead to true happiness in this life and next, and you won't want to miss that discussion.
Plus, throughout October, we've been marking Respect Life Month with local events and celebrations of the gift of life and those who protect it. We'll wrap up this month's coverage with a preview of a special event to celebrate the selfless gift of birth mothers.
And find out how you can help bring another quality Catholic television option to our local viewing schedule.
And the Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. We'll start off the show today like we usually do with Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit. Joe, the October 24th issue of The Catholic Spirit is out, and you can relax now.
for a little while.
For about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's about right.
What do we have, Joe?
Well, in this week's issue, we have a column from Archbishop Nienstedt addressing what we've been reading in the media over the last several weeks, and he reiterates his commitment and the commitment of this entire archdiocese to effectively address issues related to clergy sexual abuse. And in the column, the Archbishop acknowledges the hurt that this issue has caused, and he apologizes to all those who have been victims, as he says, whether under his watch or not. And he acknowledges that some serious mistakes have been made over the last decade, and that we can do better moving forward. And we do have, as you recall, the work of this independent task force going on right now that is reviewing all of the archdiocese's policies and practices related to clergy sexual misconduct. And the Archbishop notes at the end of his column that he also has ordered a review of all clergy files by an outside firm. So we need to continue to pray for the success of all these efforts and for the local church so that whatever needs to be fixed is fixed, and so that we can restore trust as the church continues to do the important work that it's been doing in our archdiocese for so long.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And we have a wonderful What Works feature this week, spotlighting a ministry at St. Patrick Parish in Edina that helps the poor and hungry right here in Minnesota. Volunteers at the parish, they're collecting perishable food donations from local restaurants and deliver them to Sharing and Caring Hands in Minneapolis. And on a recent morning, it was frozen food from restaurants like Chipotle and Papa John's and Caribou. And basically, workers at each restaurant pack up leftover food to donate, and they store it in a freezer, and then a volunteer from the parish picks it up and takes it to a large freezer at the parish, and then twice a week, the food is delivered to Sharing and Caring Hands.
That's awesome.
It's very simple, but just has a wonderful impact. And, we waste so much food in our society, and this is just one simple way of making sure good food can get to people who really need it. It feeds them, it cuts down on waste, and the restaurants themselves are doing a good thing, and they get a little tax benefit for making the donations. So it's great for the parish and the local businesses. And let's listen to what Morris Schnorbach, the social justice coordinator at St. Patrick, has to say about it.
That sweet space that we really want to be in as a church, as a community, because it is just a win-win. You know, it's a win for businesses, it's a win for churches, it's a win for agencies that are trying to feed hungry people, because it's, you know, it's environmental, it's all of those different things, and it is a great way for people to make a direct impact.
Yeah, and I just want to say, if anyone out there has a good story like this for our What Works section of the paper, a plan or a project or a program that is showing successful results in a parish or school, please let us know about it. We might feature it in the paper, and it could give other parishes some ideas of things they can do. So,
right. I'll bet there are a lot of things out there that work.
There are, you know, and we just got to get people to send us the idea. So email those to whatworks@archspm.org.
That one works. Let's spread that around and do it everywhere. Absolutely. I mean, my gosh, it seems so simple and easy.
That's right. And in the Rediscover section this week, we have the theme is freedom, specifically how the church can help a person find freedom from addictions of all kinds. And the story we have focuses on a man originally from England named Dan Driver, who was looking for freedom in a different sense early in his life, freedom basically to do whatever he wanted. And he says he idolized some successful musicians growing up and wanted to imitate their lifestyles. And, you know, it's basically the sex, drugs, and rock and roll story.
Sure.
Here. But through a series of circumstances, including a trip that his brother took him on to Medjugorje, he became aware of a different kind of happiness and freedom, one he says he saw in the faces of the young people he met there, and he began to turn his life around. So he eventually found his way to Net Ministries, where he's currently the retreat team administrator.
So, all right.
You know, it's just a wonderful story of conversion and finding the true freedom that, you know, only a relationship with Christ can bring. And these things sometimes take time, as they did in this man's case. And maybe some people reading this story have loved ones in their own lives, like Dan. And his story, I think, can offer a lot of hope that the path to God may take some twists and turns, but God is always trying to lead people to Him, so we always need to have some hope.
Better late than
never. It always takes twists and turns. Always.
Oh, and two other stories that people shouldn't miss this week. We have one about a program for young adult Catholics being held at Our Lady of Lourdes in Minneapolis called Vespers at Lourdes.
Uh-huh.
It's a monthly gathering of really intellectual and spiritual formation. There's evening prayer, a speaker, and some social time. And it's something that would interest a lot of young professionals who are looking to build some community with other Catholics. So folks can read more about that in this week's issue. And people shouldn't miss our news stories about Bishop-elect Andrew Cousins.
Right. I want to take a look at that.
Yeah, the latest is an interview with his parents.
Mm-hmm. That's it, exactly.
And his mother tells a powerful story of how when she was pregnant with Bishop Cousins, how there were some difficulties with the pregnancy, and one doctor was even pressuring her to have an abortion.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, she refused, obviously, but the story she tells is just a very powerful witness to the faith, so don't miss that one. And just a reminder for listeners, too, the Episcopal ordination for Bishop Cousins is December 9th at 2 o'clock at the Cathedral of St. Paul. All the faithful are invited to attend the ceremony, as well as a reception afterward at the Crown Plaza Hotel in downtown St. Paul.
And I'll get a plug in here. Mm-hmm. If you're unable to attend that Episcopal ordination, it will be broadcast live on Relevant Radio 1330 on December 9th at 2 p.m.
There we go. And if you do go to the cathedral, get there as early as you can,
because it'll be
crowded
packed.
And seating is limited.
Right.
And parking is limited, too.
and lastly, I'd just like to mention the wonderful inaugural concert I attended last night at the cathedral for the newly restored pipe organs. You know, they underwent a 3-year restoration and enhancement, and Olivier Latre, who is the head organist at the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, was the featured musician. It was just so beautiful. And to give you a little bit of flavor from last night, we have just a brief cut of some of the music from the program.
Is that a classic case of the person becoming one with the instrument?
I think so. You know, just I was sitting toward the back of the cathedral, but just the sound, just everywhere, it's just so powerful. And, you know, it really is otherworldly. You sit there and you're just transported. It was just beautiful. So anybody, you know, that's going to be going to the cathedral has this to look forward to on their next visit, for sure.
Well, there is a reason why the church gives primacy to the pipe organ.
Oh, it's just beautiful.
And we had Mr. Lawyer on last week, so if anyone wants to hear his interview with us, go to those archived shows. He spoke about the pipe organs and the whole restoration and everything related to that. It was a great interview. So it'd be good information for people interested in learning more about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
October 24th issue of The Catholic Spirit, out on your coffee table, should be in your hands, in front of you.
That's right.
Joe, good to talk to you again.
Great talking
Thank
to you.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
You too.
You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear about a special day of honor and support for local birth mothers who gave the gift of life.
Then we'll have an in-depth discussion about keeping God at the center of our lives with Deacon Joe Mihalik in today's Answering the Call. We'll be right back.
The Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio is presented each week by Stinson Electric.
This is Paul Archambault of Stinson Electric. We're proud to sponsor the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a trusted supplier of electrical services in the Twin Cities area.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers.
My customers really appreciate the electricians that I send out there. Their professionalism, their personality, their responsibility, the fact that they can call and get someone out there that knows how to solve the problem, does it in a timely manner, and is neat, tidy, polite as they do it. I get a lot of feedback about the employees.
It's rare to find a company so dedicated to doing business the right way so that everyone benefits.
We'd like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I'd be happy to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. I can be reached at 612-424-7382 or on the web at stinsonelectricinc.com.
I'm living a long, long life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Are you or do you know someone who is a mom who surrendered a child to adoption? If so, please consider attending a day of honor and recognition for birth mothers at Our Lady of Grace in Edina on November 9th. This day retreat will be a powerful opportunity for healing and understanding and is open to women of all faiths.
And for more information about this special day, we're joined by a birth mother who has participated in past Days of Honor and Recognition, Pat Gliske. Thanks for coming on the show with us today, Pat.
Thank you.
Share your story as a birth mother, could you?
Yes. In 1965, I had a son, and I gave him up for adoption. And I didn't realize or felt that I could really search for him, but in 2009, I received a lovely letter from the young man who was at that time 44, and he was looking for me.
Wow.
And I was his birth mother, and so it was a blessing. He found me, and we've been getting reacquainted ever since.
I bet that was awesome to receive that letter, and life-changing for sure for you and for him.
Absolutely, but it was... At first, it was sort of numbing because it was something that no one knew about, and which was very common for birth mothers back in the 60s and 70s. There wasn't open adoption at that point, and so it was something that had never been discussed or dealt with, and so it opened up a whole lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for me, it's turned out to be a wonderful experience, and I've just visited him this week and his family, and he comes with his family up to Minnesota once a year and has gotten to know his other siblings. And
That's awesome.
Yes.
A great,
it has been.
It turned out to be a great relationship, it seems like. And what do you think are some of the barriers to mothers today who choose adoption and when faced with an unplanned pregnancy?
Well, it's a very personal issue, so it's very different for each person. And I think a lot of people today don't choose adoption. They keep the child themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of grandparents are raising the children, and so a lot of people who would like to adopt, it's just not as common anymore. And even with open adoption, it's a very personal issue, and so each person has to make that decision on their own.
What can we do in the culture today to support birth mothers who are considering this gift of putting a child up for adoption?
Well, I would think in today's culture, I think there's a lot of pressure put on mothers to keep their children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just difficult decision to make. But in the end, I think a lot of children would probably be okay and probably have more opportunities if they were in a family with two parents versus one single parent. But it's hard to say. The culture today is so different than it used to be.
Well, and it's a very individual thing, isn't it?
In
some cases, it could be just fine and a beautiful arrangement for a young birth mother to keep her child and to have the support of her parents. In other cases, that just might not work at all.
It just might not. And like I say, it's very personal, and it really, and if you have a lot of support within your own family and both families, it could be a good thing. I do know a lot of people who have adopted, and they have the open adoption today,
mm-hmm.
where the birth mother can still be part of that child's life.
Right.
They just don't have the responsibility of raising them, but they can stay connected, because it is important for the adoptee to know where he came from, know his...
For the child, yeah.
And so with the open adoptions today, I think it's a much better situation, and everybody's much more on board with that versus years ago. It was, this was it, you signed the paper, and that was
done.
And it was done, and you were supposed to just move on and forget about it.
Right.
You don't ever do that.
Of course not. Of course not. After you carry it for that long, you can't forget about it as a mom. And what do you think... you can describe for us this special gift that birth mothers give. I mean, it is such a gift to, especially to parents who are adopting, who maybe can't have children. I mean, that's such a gift for those people.
Well, you know, if for the birth mother, it's a big decision, and every circumstance as to why they're in that position, we don't know.
Right.
But I think it is a big gift, and it's a big sacrifice that you do that. But in the end, I think it's truly a gift not only to the child but to the family that might be waiting
right.
for that child, and to be able to provide them with things you probably can't. And maybe you're a young mother in your teens or whatever, and you can go on then and... get your education and, you know, be able to be, not have all the responsibilities of that. And yes, it should be at the other end of the spectrum, but that's not how the culture is today. So, but I don't think young mothers are really encouraged that much
to do this,
to relinquish
mm-hmm.
their children anymore. And so many of them keep them, and to be honest with you, I don't know how they can do that when they're really young mothers, if
mm-hmm.
you don't have a stable family and
support,
you don't
group.
Have the financial support
right.
and all of that. So, but it's a very personal decision and whatever decision they make. And I think today, at least they know that person isn't going to be out of their life completely. Before it wasn't like that.
Right.
So it's a better scenario.
Hopefully it makes it easier to make a decision like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about the Day of Honor and Recognition coming up. What's important about a day like this for birth mothers?
Well, first of all, I think it's very nice that the Archdiocese recognizes the birth mothers and puts together a program like this. And a lot of people that come there, they may have not talked about it or anything, but they come, and it is a very healing day, and it's a day where it focuses on birth mothers. And so you can come and share your personal stories, listen to other people's personal stories, and know that they all understand where you're coming from because the same thing has happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it usually starts in the morning with like a continental breakfast, and then there will be some speakers, and it's usually some birth mothers that are telling their stories, and everybody has their own story. And then after that, there's some breakout sessions where you go into smaller groups, so you get to know other people that have experienced the same thing that you have, and you can, it's just feelings you've just never been able to discuss with a lot of other people. And they all understand, and it is very much a healing process.
I can imagine. Well, thank you, Pat, so much for sharing your story with us and speaking on the subject and the day, and we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Here are the details on the Day of Honor and Recognition for Birth Mothers. It takes place on Saturday, November 9th, beginning at 9:30 in the morning with coffee and continental breakfast, and ends with a special healing mass at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Father Jim Livingston is the celebrant, and the day will also include small group discussion, a presentation by a licensed Catholic therapist, and time for meditation, sacrament of reconciliation, and time to connect with other birth mothers.
There's a $15 fee to cover food and stipends. Scholarships are available. For more information, contact Aaron at 612-824-3470. That's Aaron at 612-824-3470. To register, go to archspm.org. That's archspm.org, and search Birth Mothers. We've linked the phone number and event page on our show archive page.
And straight ahead on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk with Deacon Joe Mahalik in today's Answering the Call. He'll have an in-depth examination of finding the way and keeping God at the center of our lives.
And a little later in the show, we'll hear why you need to speak up to help bring more quality Catholic TV programming to our local TV schedule. Find out about Catholic events happening around town, too, all ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
The Farmer's Almanac, National Weather Service, and others are predicting colder than normal temperatures for the Twin Cities this winter. Whether you believe them or not, we all know even a normal winter will require reliable heat in our homes. Most of us would like to be using energy efficiently for cost savings and the environment. You may want to call DuckTech HVAC soon to have your furnace serviced or replaced. A tune-up from DuckTech HVAC could find a problem that's waiting to hit on the coldest night. Or a new Armstrong heating system could save you money and give you season after season of reliability. Armstrong units are the professional's choice. Quick response and professional service and installation are the mission of DuckTech. The weatherman may not be reliable, but DuckTech HVAC is. Don't let your family's warmth or costly energy bills be unpredictable this winter. Call DuckTech HVAC 24 hours a day for a tune-up or Armstrong system. 651-330-8744. 651-330-8744. Or relevantradio.com, keyword HVAC.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. We are all created to know our true home, our ultimate destination, with God for eternity.
Unfortunately, through the influence of our culture and the weakness of our human nature, we can be tempted to deny that how we get to our destination matters.
And the roadmap to our home, to our destination, is the topic of the fourth and final talk in the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series, The Way, Keeping God at the Center of My Life. Deacon Joe Mahalik will give that talk on four successive evenings beginning November 4th. He joins us on the phone for today's Answering the Call. Deacon Mahalik is a busy man serving a parish and as an instructor at the Archbishop Harry Flynn Catechetical Institute and as director of the Diaconate and of the Institute for Diaconate Formation. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule today.
Oh, good morning.
Good to have you here. Tell us a little bit about this talk. I take it you get a little bit into the early church. What can we learn about the early Christians about how to live?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, aside from being utterly committed to the Lordship of Jesus, they had a very distinctive view of how they lived here on earth. And they saw life in terms of a journey. And the scriptural language is they saw themselves as pilgrims or exiles, people longing to get back home. They saw that though they're it's valuable and worthy to live here, this is where God has placed us, this is where we live and grow, it's on the way. It's being on a journey to get back home. So they did a set of visible, concrete, intentional things to keep God at the center. They had a set of practices, how they spoke with one another, their behavior and their relationships. Even the songs they sang were all focused on being on the journey back home to God.
It was a different mindset, almost, from what we experience in today's culture, a different worldview that we would like to get back to, I'm sure.
Oh, very much so, yes. Yes.
And the ultimate aim in life is not the journey, but the destination. How do we nurture the divine life given to us at baptism and throughout this destination, really, or throughout the journey, keep our eyes on the ultimate goal, which is getting home, right? You talk about with a capital H, correct?
Right. Home. Yes, yes. Well, you know, it's worth recalling that this is part of our experience even now. You know, any parent who has traveled with children knows that on a road trip, knows that great, great refrain of kids.
Are we there yet?
Absolutely. So we instinctively want to keep our eyes on the goal. So we need to stay connected and stay centered on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In baptism, we are given that life in us. This is one of the amazing mysteries and great truths of our faith, that God lives in us. And he's poured his life into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. It's like the divine life in a seed form. And so, to use that analogy, a farmer does a set of things to nurture the seed. The life is in the seed. See, that's the key. The life is already there. But it needs to be nurtured,
you have to help it grow.
Watered. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the farmer has a mission, or to use the image of being on a journey, you have a road map. You have things that you pay attention to. And, of course, ultimately it's Jesus who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Well, okay, so baptism is the planting of the seed, and
right.
then we've got to do something after that. Huh? What can we do to ensure that we're meeting God daily in prayer and scripture, the sacraments? What steps should we take then to nurture that seed?
Yeah, that's great. And we're going to talk about prayer, scripture, the sacraments, service, and even meeting God in our suffering. So all of this is going to come into play. We take everything into account. In prayer and scripture, there's a lot of tried and true wisdom through the life of the church. First truth is this: God is already present. Prayer is fundamentally us becoming present to him. It's our love response to his thirst for us. But it's going to be concrete. So the wisdom is, from the early Christians and all through the tradition, is have a routine. Have a set time and place for prayer. It helps us just like any other routine in life, whether it's brushing our teeth or exercising or eating dinner. Have a routine. Secondly, have a routine within the routine. Don't just do anything and do it differently every day, but get down a certain kind of pattern within the pattern. And one that we'll talk about is a basic one
often called ACTS, A-C-T-S, which stands for Adoration, Contrition, Thanksgiving, and Supplication or Intercession, asking for what we need. And then in terms of Scripture, the most basic rule of thumb there is, to use a line from St. Augustine, pick up and read. Just that, in fact, pick it up and read it. So many of us get daunted by the size of the Scripture. You know, it's a different world, and we don't quite know how to understand. But the first step is just pick up and read. And we recommend beginning with the Gospels, so we actually meet Jesus there. And then the great prayers of the Scripture, the Psalms, the Book of Psalms, which is a Christian prayer book. And the simplest thing, of course, for all of us, whether we're advanced in prayer and Scripture or just beginning, is always take the next step. Today is a new day. Take the next step.
There really is something to be said for ritual, isn't there?
Oh,
I keep
certainly
hearing that, repeating, and Matthew Kelly talks about routine within routine and being intentional about your prayer, just not seeing what happens, you know, kind of winging it. You gotta have a program down, right?
Yeah, and anybody who knows anything about success in life knows that there's a routine. Athletes know this,
practice.
Parents know this, mm-hmm. businessmen know this. This is not rocket science. It's how we work.
Right. So we're on this journey, and I take it, you know, we have this map. We can't just put on our GPS and kind of cruise control. You have to actually be active in the journey mm-hmm. and making sure you get to where you want to be at the end. How can we meet God regularly in the sacraments, and what are some steps that we can do for, beyond prayer and Scripture, but
sacraments are so rich. We could talk so much about them, but to focus on two that are most basic, and you know, Bishop-elect Cousins had talked already about baptism. So beyond baptism, which initiates us into the journey, that's getting the journey begun. Just like on a journey, you have stops along the way, points of rest, points of refreshment, points of strength, and the sacraments are that for us. And the most essential one all throughout is going to be regularly participating in the Eucharist, which is the food for the journey, and it's also a way of keeping our eyes on the goal, that life of union with God. So beginning with Sunday Mass, just go. That's the most basic.
Being there,
Actually attend, be there, be present. And then when we're there, to offer our lives on the altar with Jesus to the Father in the Holy Spirit, to perhaps read the Scriptures beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Prepare.
To have a mind for it, to be kind of till the soil a little bit, be ready to receive His Word. And then afterwards, to allow the waters to sink in, to thank Him. You know, let other people worry about the donuts. We can always get donuts, but to take time to thank Him afterwards. And then the other sacrament that's so important for the journey is the sacrament of confession or reconciliation or penance, which, of course, most of us don't really like that sacrament. It's a little bit like going to the dentist. we don't rejoice, hey, I'm going to go to the dentist today. But it's so necessary because it exposes what we all know is the kind of the rotten core at times, the decay that's there. And we receive the healing presence of the Lord Jesus. We receive His Spirit anew. We receive freedom and absolution so that we have strength then to move ahead. Always, we're going to fail. We will sin. This is just true about being on the journey. But God's mercy is super abundant.
A spiritual root canal without the pain.
Oh, that's a good image.
Well, and you always leave there feeling better. I mean, no matter how much you dread it, you always, and same with the dentist, your teeth feel better. You feel clean.
Right.
I mean,
and it's not just a psychological thing. It's a genuine cleansing and renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the tough one, and that is meeting God in the service of others, seeing Christ in other people, especially those whom we find undesirable.
Right. Well, of course, at a certain level, we're all undesirable.
Of course.
And in our sinfulness and
sinners.
In our neediness.
Mm-hmm.
But look how God served us. Yep. Look how He emptied Himself to come to us. Meeting God in service to others, it's got to be a service born of love. It's beginning to see as you said, as God sees. And to just in from the very smallest ways to maybe giving our lives in the grandest way. It's just simply a concern for the welfare of those around us. You know that popular phrase, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's actually a little hard to know, but we do know that the early Christians and some things that Jesus did and commanded us to do are traditionally captured under what are known as the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Very basic things of instructing others, comforting them in their sorrow, praying for the living and the dead, bearing wrongs done to us, even patiently, corporally or in our embodiment, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing those that don't have it, helping the homeless, visiting the sick or the imprisoned, and burying the dead. Even just attending a funeral and praying for those who have died and for those who are mourning. These are all ways of bringing the presence of God to others through our concrete actions. Notice how concrete it is. It's not just wanting to do something, but it's actually doing something for others.
And I think one of the hardest parts for me is when I'm suffering and when I'm asking why, asking God why, and I'm not understanding, you know, why certain things are happening to me that are not good. How do you meet God at those points, and what do you do to become closer to Him in those hard situations?
Yeah, Corey, that's a fantastic question, because suffering finds us. You know, we don't need to go looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
It is part of life. It's part of the journey. And the mystery here is that God Himself used suffering to bring life. He entered into the deepest suffering imaginable to meet us where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing here is to have a confidence that just as He did that on the cross, He does that in our crosses, be they large or small. And when we talk about suffering, by the way, it's not just physical suffering. You know, it's all the emotional suffering,
mm-hmm.
the broken relationship.
The grief, the sadness.
Grief, our own failure, loss. Our own sin. It's hopes and dreams that aren't met in our lives. It's disillusionment. It could be any number of things. But that's the cross. And He came there as part of the human condition, and to meet us. And there's a way in which I often think of the image of Simon of Cyrene walking up the hill, at first reluctant, but actually embracing and just walking with Jesus, or having Jesus walk with him to the cross. And yet there's an encounter with the living God in that.
This really kind of ties in with the Beatitudes, doesn't it? All of the Beatitudes start out with a negative, it seems.
Many of them do, and Jesus doesn't shy away. You know, it's the paradox here, the gospel paradox of unless you pick up your cross and follow, you won't have life. Well, in the Beatitudes, it's blessed are those who mourn.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who see their poverty, their need for God. And that's what they fundamentally are, at least in the version that Matthew records. They're kind of about the inner life. And they, as we ponder them, we actually see that the Beatitudes are describing the face of God, the face of the incarnate Jesus. They show us suffering love, and there's no love without suffering. And so the paradox here is that the true humanity, the true man, Jesus, is seen in the paradox of the suffering that becomes purification and a ladder of conversion for us, that the reward in the end is the kingdom. Blessed are you. You will be happy. You will actually be satisfied when you meet me, when I come to meet you on the way. You're on the way. I'm going to meet you on the way in a way that you can't even fully imagine right now. And eventually we see him face to face.
Deacon Joe Mihalik, you always give us something to chew on.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. God bless you.
You Thanks. Too.
Bye-bye.
Here are the details now on Deacon Mihalik's talk, Rediscover the Way, Keeping God at the Center of My Life. Talks will be held Monday, November 4th at Holy Name of Jesus, Wayzata, Tuesday, November 5th at Epiphany, Coon Rapids, Wednesday, November 6th at the James B. Wolfe Alumni Hall, Anderson Student Center, University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus, and Thursday, November 7th at Pax Christi in Eden Prairie. All talks begin at 7 p.m., run a total of 90 minutes. That includes hospitality time. All talks are free, no registration required. Make plans to attend. Bring a friend or family member with you. For more details, visit rediscover-faith.org and click on events.
And we caught up with attendees at the Rediscover Faith 2013 Speaker Series this week at the University of St. Thomas, given by Bishop-elect Andrew Cousins. And we asked them how Bishop-elect Cousins' talk inspired them, and here's what they had to say.
I'm Gemma from the University of St. Thomas. What inspired me is just the beauty of thinking about how the Mass is something that has been going on for thousands of years. Bishop-elect Cousins talked about Mass that happened in the year 100. St. Justin Martyr would describe the Mass, and it's the same thing that we do every Sunday today. And so it's just so beautiful to think that we're the ones continuing on with this beautiful thing that was established thousands of years ago with Christ himself.
My name is Savannah, and I'm from the University of St. Thomas. Well, everything Father said was really beautiful and very touching, but I think the thing that touched me the most was really the personal stories that he brought into it, particularly the story of learning how to genuflect, and just how that's just like a personal, very intimate way of showing the Lord reverence, and then also the story about his first Mass at the Cathedral of St. Paul and how that same act of reverence he had done his whole life he now could do as a priest, and that he never doubted that the Lord is present in the Eucharist.
My name is Mauricio Carranza, and I'm a student here at the University of St. Thomas. It kind of revealed the truth that I've always seen there, you know, the idea that Jesus Christ is always present in the Eucharist. It's a truth that we all know, and we're, and as even my faith journey, I started to understand that Jesus Christ was really present. The talk today was just a reopening of that idea. It's like, don't forget this, don't make it just a habit, but make it an act of will, you know, a willing act of accepting the fact that God is there and that he's there for you, not just for, you know, he's not there for the sake of being there, but he's actually for you and for everyone sharing the Mass with me.
I am Spencer. I am a sophomore seminarian at St. John Vianney Seminary. After hearing Bishop-elect Cousins, I had a want for adoration and a need to go to my chapel and see my God there, and nothing would make me more happy and more fulfilled than seeing Christ present on the altar in the Eucharist.
My name is Faith. I'm from St. Mark's Parish. Tonight I was struck during the talk about the idea that space and time collapse and Jesus comes to us in the moment, and how intimate and very, very precious that time is to be with him.
Just a reminder, you can attend the final talk in the Rediscover Faith Speaker Series Monday through Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. the week of November 4th. All the details are at the rediscover-faith.org.
Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, find out how you can help bring more quality Catholic TV programming to your local living room. And we'll also highlight Catholic events happening around town when we come right back.
Rediscover.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. They strive for the best results for their customers.
This is Paul Archambeau of Stinson Electric. This summer, I took a 10-day vacation up at the lake. The first three emails that I opened on Monday morning were all compliments about how well my employees had handled various things while I was gone. What a blessing to come back to that.
Stinson Electric has such a wide set of skills, your electrical needs are always handled by an expert in the field.
Our ideal in our company is to have each person be continuously improving. So we host annual in-house training for our electricians. They're trained in safety, they're trained in new codes, troubleshooting techniques. That way, with a number of employees, we have kind of a wide range of knowledge. People become experts on different parts of the business.
Stinson Electric is the sponsor of the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. You can contact Paul at 612-424-7382.
is it about somebody like Anthony of Padua that I can relate to, that has any meaning for my life?
When we think about saints, we always think about perfect people, which is wrong.
To understand Anthony, you have to understand the world in which Anthony lived.
St. Anthony was somebody who was constantly trying to become better, but he also took wrong paths.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Coming back from break, you heard a little bit of a promo for a documentary called Finding St. Anthony, a story of loss and light on Salt and Light Television. How would you like to have more options for quality Catholic programming to watch in your home?
Well, right now, Salt and Light, Canada's national Catholic TV network, is available in the U.S., but you've got to make sure your cable or satellite TV company knows you want them to carry it. For more information about this, we're joined by Stefan Slovak from Salt and Light via phone from Toronto. Thank you for joining us, Stefan.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about Salt and Light and why it's just becoming available now in the United States.
Well, Salt and Light started 10 years ago. It was the dream of a gentleman by the name of Gaetano Galliano. And it was born on the wings of World Youth Day 2002 that happened here in Toronto. And between Mr. Galliano's vision and a little bit of influence from Pope John Paul II, our CEO, Father Tom Rizika, who was the CEO of World Youth Day, was given the task of forming a national Catholic television network here. So for the last 10 years, we've been broadcasting across Canada, getting on now at this point pretty well every cable and satellite provider within the country. Now, though, we've been made available on a satellite that not only covers Canada, but United States as well. So now viewers south of the border have the opportunity, really, to experience just what Salt and Light's all about.
And what is it all about? What is its mission?
Sure. Well, our at a very basic level, our mission is to be a Catholic channel of hope.
Mm-hmm.
So what our focus is the new evangelization, really taking from John Paul II and running with the idea of re-evangelizing in a new way. Our hope is really to try and take the Church's message and translate it to the world today through media.
What are some of the things that Salt and Light viewers will get to see? Some of the
if you watch our network, we have a whole wide variety of programming, both original content and stuff from around the globe. We have, up to this point, I believe, 45 documentaries that we've produced in-house to date. We have 33 television series, and we cover pretty well all major Vatican events and any major other events that are happening in the Church. Our latest television program, The Church Alive, is really our new flagship program, and really focuses on the new evangelization, covering topics like Catholic education, role of the laity, social justice, politics, pretty well everything right across the board.
Perfect. And what should we do as Minnesotans who want to access Salt and Light? What do we do?
Well, the best thing to do is you got two options. You can go to our website.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to saltandlighttv.org/channel finder, and there we have a page set up whereby if you just put your zip code in, it'll let you know which cable providers in your area are available. So you select that, and if they don't have Salt and Light at this point, it tells you how you can phone them, email them, send them a letter. All the information's there. It's all preset. It's really easy. Or if people want to call by phone, they can call 1-855-YES-4-SLTV, and they can do all that over the phone as well. So the idea now is just to sort of lobby the cable providers and satellite providers and say, you know, hey, we'd love to have Salt and Light in our market.
But how long does the process take before we can actually see it in our living room?
Well, that's the thing. It's it all depends on the demand in the local market. So
how many people are asking for it, right?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. If a lot of people are asking, then there's more incentive for the cable provider to show it. There's no cost to them to download it. So it's it's a win-win for everybody here. So the more Catholics, you know, they can get on their on the internet, get on the phone, contact their providers, let them know that they want, they'd love to see Salt and Light, in their living room. the sooner hopefully that day will come.
Okay. Well, thank you, Stefan. We appreciate the info. We'll do that.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Okay, so here's what you need to do again. If you want to see Salt and Light on your cable or satellite TV, visit get.saltandlight.tv. That's get.saltandlight.tv. Or call 1-855-YES-4-SLTV. That's 1-855-YES-4-SLTV to get to let cable and satellite TV companies know that you want to get Salt and Light TV. And so the info is also linked on our archive show page.
And if there's a topic you'd like to hear more about on the Rediscover Hour, please let us know. Click on Show Ideas on the lower right side of our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on Radio in the top navigation bar or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's therediscoverhour@archspm.org. Here's a look at some inspiring Catholic events happening in our area. First, we have two liturgies to mark All Souls Day. First, the All Souls Day service featuring the Requiem by John Rutter at Our Lady of Grace, Edina, November 2nd, 7 p.m. at 5071 Eden Avenue. Also, a candlelight ceremony to remember deceased loved ones and Requiem Mass at St. Agnes, St. Paul, November 2nd, 10 a.m., 548 LaFond Avenue. Extraordinary Form Mass sung by the St. Agnes Chamber Choir. Call 651-699-0571 for information. 651-699-0571.
And come for an hour of adoration or more to the 9th Annual Borromeo Weekend, 40 Hours of Adoration at St. Paul Seminary. November 1st to the 3rd, the weekend begins at 7 p.m. Friday, November 1st, with Mass celebrated by Bishop Lee Pache in the Chapel of St. Thomas Aquinas, followed by a candlelight procession across the University of St. Thomas St. Paul campus to St. Mary's Chapel at the seminary, concludes with Mass Sunday at 10 a.m. in St. Mary's Chapel.
And a reminder about the special event we discussed earlier in today's show. Are you or do you know someone who is a mom and who surrendered a child to adoption? If so, please consider attending a day of honor and recognition for birth mothers at Our Lady of Grace Church in Edina, Saturday, November 9th. The day retreat is a powerful opportunity for healing and understanding. It's open to women of all faiths. There is a $15 fee to cover food and stipends. Scholarships are available. Find out more. Call Aaron 612-824-3470. That's Aaron at 612-824-3470.
Also on November 9th, All in God's Plan, Daughters and Sons for Life program. This program for teens age 13 to 16 and their parents is intended to present to teens a Christian understanding of human sexuality by taking a hard look at what underlies the modern cultural approach and demonstrating the goodness of God's ways in the scriptures and teachings of the church. Teens will be given practical help in choosing and living the virtue of chastity. In separate sessions, the parents will be given encouragement and practical counsel through presentation and discussion for assisting their children in this area. Come learn about the gift of human sexuality and the challenge of chastity at St. Peter in Forest Lake, Saturday, November 9th from 9 to 12:30 p.m., Mass at 8:30 a.m., free will offering. Refreshments will be served. Reservations required by Monday, November 4th. For more information or to register, call Sue Fast at 651-982-2238.
Catholic men ages 22 to 50 are invited to a Come and See Priesthood Discernment Day. That'll be at St. Paul Seminary. The Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis Vocation Office invites Catholic men ages 22 to 50 who are discerning a vocation to the priesthood to come to the St. Paul Seminary on Sunday, November 24th, 2013, for a day of discernment. The day begins at 10 a.m. with Mass and concludes after night prayer at 9 p.m. Men who have their college degree or who have almost completed their college degree are invited to attend this event. The day will include Mass, prayer, seminary tour, talks, holy hour, recreation, and meals with seminarians. Event cost is $10. Please register before November 18th by emailing St. Paul Priest, that's S-T Paul Priest, at 10,000vocations.org. I'll give that to you again. St. Paul Priest, S.T. Paul Priest, at 1 and then 5 zeros, vocations.org, or call 651-962-6890. That's 651-962-6890. And for more information on any of the events that we've talked about today on the Rediscover Hour, visit the Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar. A lot of things coming up.
That's right.
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, a perfect topic for All Saints Day. Who are your favorite saints? Do you have one?
No, not a favorite.
Oh, mine is Thérèse of Lisieux.
And why is that?
It's
just
hard.
Because.
Just because. I just love her and she loves me. So, who do you turn to for examples for strength in times of trouble? Well, here are some suggestions for saints to inspire us during life's ups and downs.
And we'll find out about expanding opportunities for men to grow in the faith and enjoy Catholic fellowship in our community.
Plus, latest local Catholic news and inspiring events happening around our area.
The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.